Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking Titans, we'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us a little bit later in the program. Got a lot to get into with PK. So, Joe, I was listening to Stilley yesterday, and he brought up an interesting conversation. So we've talked ad nauseum about the blame and how much is to go around here for the Titans from what we've seen from them going from a team that was consistently winning their division to a team that is now, as of last year, the worst team in the National Football League. And we've talked a lot about ownership and A.B. Adams Strunk and the role that she's played in that downfall that we've seen here. We've talked about some bad hires that they've had. You know, obviously, Rand Carthon did not work out as general manager. You fired Vrabel. You fired John Robinson. And now we'll see kind of what this next iteration looks like with Brinker slash Borgonzi and crew and what that means for Brian Callahan. Still, he brought up yesterday a person that we don't talk about a lot, and that is Burke Nihil of the Titans. And I'll let Stilley kind of take it from here before we pick up the discussion. But this was his thoughts and his vote of no confidence on Burke Nihil of the Titans yesterday.
But can I just ask this question? Who's holding them accountable? Who's holding Burke Nihil accountable for the fact that, again, he inherited a well-running franchise and has since run it into the ground? Who's holding Chad Brinker accountable? We're pretending like every decision that was made over the last 2 years had nothing to do with Chad Brinker, even though he was here and paid by the team. And yet, it's not Chad Brinker and Burke Nihil, the people in charge, or at least at some point in charge, that get the brunt of the blame. Apparently, it's the PR director, who is incredibly respected by the local media, the national media, and the entire NFL. This reminds me so much of that Texans disaster that it hurts. And the only way the Texans got their feet on the ground was getting rid of the problem. It's not fun to say this because I like Burke Nihil, but yesterday for me was the final straw. I have no confidence in his leadership of this organization.
So that was Stilley yesterday on his show talking about president and CEO of the Titans, Burke Nihil, and you know the firing of Robbie Bourne, which we talked about yesterday. Again, not as the chief reason of what Stilley brought up, but kind of like just the final straw and representative of other decisions that have gone down here. So what do you make of what he had to say on Burke Nihil there? And where does Burke Nihil, in your mind, kind of fall in line with all of the criticism that we've talked about with the Titans?
I love that. You know, I like Burke Nihil. Although he has run this franchise into the ground and needs to be sent out of Nashville immediately. But I like him. I like you, Burke. Yeah, look, I mean, Burke has to – I can't sit here and pretend – here's how I view Burke Nihil. I think Burke Nihil is Amy's right hand. I mean, I think Burke Nihil is Amy's however you want to phrase it. So, yeah, then it gets into the question of, okay, so how much then is on – him specifically, and how much is just he happens to be the person who speaks for her, and it's on her,
right?
But look, I mean, like this, we talked about it yesterday with Robbie, and again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know the conversations or I know exactly who said what or believed what or you know. But obviously, you're looking at Burke Nihil, and to me, he's at the top of the power food chain here in Nashville, right? So I have to look at any decision like this and look at him first. And I that was a brutal decision. And I can speak with confidence on that because I know those jobs and I know how Robbie went about it. I know Big Joe's like, you know, well, it was a love letter to Robbie. The point was not, you know, a love letter to Robbie Bourne. The point was, I think the Titans are screwing this stuff up. And it looks that way with other people, too. Again, we're going to have Kuharsky in today. I think Kuharsky can speak with more authority on some things than I can. But I don't know that I would compare. You know, he's talking about Jack Easterby with the Texans. Now, there was some weird stuff with Jack Easterby, right, that yes. I've not seen here. But I will say that it's gone poorly. I don't like how he's gone about his business on some things that I do know of. I don't like how he's just gone about his business. And I think it's fair to question him as much as anybody. Again, it's like Amy has, I think, entrusted him. So what does that mean? You know, again, is he making decisions that are bad right. on his own? Is he just doing, you know, just doing her bidding, basically?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what the answer to that is either. And again, like at the end of the day here, it comes back to the owner, regardless of whether he is, you know, at major fault here or not. Like the owner is ultimately responsible for some of the decisions that are that we're talking about here. So I think it's important to keep that in perspective here. Now, having said that, as Stilly brought up, you know, thinking back to when Amy Adams Strunk took over the Titans, who was a huge part in helping her turn this organization around? It was Steve Underwood, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Underwood played a big part in that. And then, I mean, we could talk about coincidence, we could talk about whatever, but basically since Steve Underwood's gone, that's when the other way kind of started to happen here. Now, look, in 2020, they won the division. They got put out in the first round of the playoffs, but they won the division. They were the number one seed in 2021, and then we all know what happened.
The football
was
good.
So the football continued to be good for the next couple years, and then starting basically when they fired John Robinson the next year, it was a total disaster.
Yeah, they had good football people.
Actually, probably
in place.
Starting when they traded A.J. Brown. It was a total disaster.
That's a big part of it. But, yeah, I mean, they had good football people. They were winning. You know, so, again, like how much – I mean, Burt Nyhill was here for that too. He was here right. during that stretch and didn't – I don't think – I'm not going to put A.J. Brown on him. That would be quite a story
yeah,
if Burt got in there.
Guys, how about A.J.?
You know, I don't think that's what happened. But he's kind of become the – you know, I mean, look, he's kind of become the face of, like, what the heck are they doing? And, again, a lot of these moves I can't speak to most of them in terms of, like, pretending that I know on a daily basis. I think that when you lose a lot of people like this and you move on, I think you lose something. I think you got to be real careful with that. I know that this last one was stupid.
Well, and the big question here, and this relates to Burt Nyhill, this relates to Amy Adams Strunk, is do the Titans have a leadership problem that is big enough to the standpoint of it's going to hinder them from getting out of this? That's really the question, right? Like is Amy Adams Strunk and just the what seems like making decisions by, you know, which way the wind is blowing at the time. First off, how much of a role is Burt Nyhill playing in that? Does he have any power when it comes to some of those decisions? But the bottom line is between Amy Adams Strunk, Burt Nyhill, the people running this organization, are they incompetent to the point where it's going to be a huge problem for the Titans to find their way out of this? Or have they hired the right people in Borgonzi and Brinker that can navigate their way out of this? One thing that Stilly said that I agree with that somehow we keep just glossing over here, like Chad Brinker's been a part of this. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't figure some things out moving forward here, but Chad Brinker right now plays a role in this too in terms of why it's gotten this bad. And that doesn't mean that he's doomed to failure, but he is not, you know, free in this discussion here.
Oh, not at all. And, you know, with Burt Nyhill, I mean, obviously, if you really look at, like, what his job is and what he's focused on, and you can look at the stadium situation
Correct.
And say he's done a heck of a job.
Right.
I'm looking at his bio. He was named Most Admired CEO by the Nashville Business Journal, by the way.
That's good.
Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, that's been obviously a huge focus of the franchise. I do know that in some of these situations, you know, where, like, especially I think when Amy wants – something done media-wise, you know, it has been Burke dealing with stuff like that and not anyone in actual comms. Is that good or bad? I don't know. But, I mean, that happens in some of these organizations too. The owner's right-hand man or woman kind of takes over situations like that. And, look, there's been some – I'm interested to hear what Kaharsky has to say about this. But yep. You're right. Brinker is, you know – He's been a part of this and he's trying to sort of act like this is a new era, and it's not.
We'll continue the discussion on Titans leadership coming up next, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Just in time for the NCAA tournament, score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road here with you on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, discussing Titans and their leadership in the organization. Taking your thoughts on that. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ben to the program. Ben, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. So I think that you're 100% right to be concerned about the leadership, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I think history has already shown us that if your owner isn't on the same page with the rest of the staff, you know, that the front office and the coaches and so on and so forth, you're going to be doomed to, you know, just being horrible. Look at the Cowboys. Look at what my beloved Patriots are going through right now. I think Kraft has had too much influence recently, and it's time for him to step back. You know, it's been proven time and time again. Like I said, Dallas is a perfect example of that. And I think that Amy's too quick to fire. I don't think she's really a football person. I don't think she's ever been. And honestly, God rest her soul, I don't think her dad was either. You know, so I'll hang up and I'll let you guys talk. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, thanks for the call, Ben. Appreciate it. I mean, that's the fundamental question with the organization is the leadership. Is it good enough to get this thing back to a team that can be competitive? Like, ultimately, you've hired Mike Borgonzi, you've hired Chad Brinker, and if they make the right decisions, I mean, frankly, right now, if they draft the right quarterback, like if Cam Ward comes in and he's a great player, well, that's going to say probably more about the future of your organization than anything else. Like, take Cincinnati. Cincinnati, for most of my life, has been near the bottom of the NFL, right? Like, I mean, they had their run with Andy Dalton, which we've talked about, where they were a good regular season team. But by and large, the Bengals have been terrible throughout my lifetime. And then they draft Joe Burrow and things change. So when you get great players, that ultimately is more important than anything else, particularly at quarterback. But I do think, you know, over the last couple of years, Joe, we've had a lot of conversations about Amy Adams Strunk and ownership and the leadership of this franchise. And the way that some things have gone around here, I mean, the Titans have been in conversations with the Browns and the Jets as it comes to, like, where you're currently standing with NFL franchises. And that is not where you want to be if you're the Titans.
Yeah, that's not great company. I mean, like you said, if the football people make good choices, football coaches and football players do their jobs well, then we don't care about right. Burke Nyhill. Like, no, you know, again, I think the primary focus of his job has been stadium stuff, which has all gone well for them. But then you get into something like this, and it's like, okay, so who's messing this up? One question I would have, and I see that PK has come in here. One question I would have is, you know, Burke Nyhill, is he someone who's comfortable, you know, going back up to Amy and saying, no, this is a bit,
right.
Or is he purely a yes man? And my perception of Steve Underwood is that he was someone who had the guts and cachet is a good word. Yeah, the credibility to be able to maybe push back on some things. And I don't know that Burke does. I'm very interested to hear PK's thoughts on this. And look, like the Robbie decision. Okay, so, I mean, this goes back to like when Amy Adams Strunk was like 40 years old or whatever, he joined the organization. He's been there forever. I mean, obviously, they've been very happy with his job performance over decades, right? So why is this move now? Is this as simple as like Borgonzi wants his guy in there in that job? This is where, you know, this is where you lose continuity, where you should have continuity in your organizations, while the mercenaries who might be here for 3-4 years, you know, right. fundamentally change things, which to me is a real problem. But again, these are all things that I'd like PK to weigh in on.
And we welcome Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com to the program. PK, how we doing?
Good morning. Let me speak to that guy who said this is just like Dallas. It's not at all like Dallas. Jerry Jones is the most outspoken owner in the league. Amy Adams Strunk is the most invisible person in the league.
Other than that, it's pretty close.
Dallas is dysfunctional. Titans are way more dysfunctional.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's so much going on in this market right now where there's a Stockholm syndrome where people just kind of accept what's going on. I don't know. Maybe the Twitter thing is out of control in terms of not representing the real world, but in terms of firing the PR director, So many people are like, hey, I don't care, which is fine. You don't have to care. But if you want to know what's going on with the organization and its dysfunction, it's an important development.
It's a symptom, and I think people don't get that.
Yeah, and B, this other thing where like, well, they're, you know, they need some change after all of this time, or you're upset that your number one source is fired, or all of this stuff. Listen, you have to step back at some point and concede, whether you like me or not. For some reason, the rest of the media is largely silent on this thing. I don't really understand it. There are people who cover the team closely and know the people who are involved in stuff who want to tell you what's going on over there and what it means. So, shh for a second and listen and learn about it. You don't know these inside people. I understand that. But there's meaning to what's going on there. Again, if you only want to know about football players, that's fine.
Yep.
But if you want to know about the functioning of the organization, don't. The guy never gave me a story in his life. That's not what these guys do. Yeah. That's the way he would have gotten fired.
Exactly.
I tried to explain on the text on yesterday, like, guys, like sources for stories are not PR people. That's just not how it works.
And he doesn't know a lot of the information. He learned a lot of the information from me.
Well, and again, like, I understand if you're a Titans fan out there and you've heard the conversation about Robbie Boren getting fired, the PR director. And you're like, okay, like, why do I care about that part of it? But as we've discussed, it's not so much about that. I mean, I think that part of it's a big deal. But I understand why Titans fans don't really care about that. It's the symptom of what that represents and the dysfunction that continues to take place in this organization that's been seemingly nonstop for the last four years.
And the Burke conversation is a good one. Listen. There's broccoli to be eaten on your sports plate. That's an important part of the meal. I'm a Yankees guy. Hal Steinbrenner isn't my favorite element of the Yankees. I'd much rather hear about Aaron Judge. But a lot of the Aaron Judge stuff relates to what Hal Steinbrenner's doing. Do I want to know that, or do I blindfold myself and plug my ears? I mean, you want to be an educated fan or not?
What more with PK coming up next? A lot more to get into on this conversation. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. PK is with us for the rest of the show, talking all things Titans. We'll take your questions for him as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the rest of the program, talking all things Titans. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Discussing Titans leadership with PK here. So PK, where do you come down on the Burke Nihil part of this? As we've discussed, you know, the stadium deal is a big part of what his job is here, and he's not quote unquote a football guy, but he is a part of the leadership here. And you know, we talked about when A.B. Adams Strunk, you know, first kind of took over as controlling owner, Steve Underwood and the role that he played in this organization. So where do you come down on Titans leadership, the role that Burke Nihil plays, and how symptomatic he is of the problems that we've seen around here over the last few years?
Well, I'd certainly like to talk to him about this stuff. Look, I think the stadium deal trumps everything, and he will be in that job as long as he likes. I mean, getting a $2.2 billion stadium off the ground and done, you know, is trumps everything, and it is a big deal for Amy Adams Strunk, the city, all of that.
Sure,
you know. But on the football side, he likes to act as if he doesn't want to be involved in football situations. You know, I'll advise when I'm asked and all that. I think he likes very much to be asked.
I mean, he's the one who always brings the phone for Amy's firings, right? Like, oh, I got Amy on FaceTime. Thanks, Burke.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's, you know.
And, you know, I think he had was one of the many people who had a problem with Mike Vrabel being such an alpha. But I think he's kind of a quiet alpha. I mean, he fires a lot of people. He's, you know, whether it's Amy or he, I think he's got some sway with Amy. And we've seen people like Ralph Auchinfeld, who negotiated two stadium naming rights deals for a crap team on a crap building. Stuart Spears, who was instrumental in organizing the draft here that was a raging success. The Amy Adams Strunk, I think, was really big on that one. But these firings right after the season, Anthony Pastrana, who's the video guy, Brent Akers, who's the ops guy, who you never heard a bad thing about, that plans the flights and the hotels and all of that. I mean, if something goes wrong there, you hear about it. Yeah. You never heard about anything there. Now Robbie Boren, a little bit of a silent assassin there. Who in replacing all of these people have we ever heard anything about? Now, I don't know. You know, maybe there's some people that have filled in another thing and it keeps them absolutely quiet so that he gets credit for anything that's going well. But he has hired and quickly fired several other people in the building.
Yeah, there have been some very short tenures in the last few years. Very short tenures.
You know, Gil Beverly was a guy that came and had like four different titles in 4 years and was fired and was widely regarded as a disaster. If you're over there and you've worked long term, I'd get your resume out and be scared to death. And I think, you know, he's got like slogans up on the wall and all of this stuff. I mean, I think he thinks it's a very good place to work. I think everybody that works there is scared to death the same way, ironically, that they're scared of Mike Vrabel. You know, and Mike Vrabel was a buddy-buddy guy, too. He's a great guy, right, being around him. But I think you're scared of Mike Vrabel, like you get on the wrong side of Mike Vrabel and you were in trouble. And it's very much the same with Burke Nihil now.
Is there
this may have started with somebody else. This may have started with Borgonzi. But Nihil has the power to protect them. But I'll say this other thing that I think is important, right? We're talking about people who I know did very good work. There are other people over there that I'm friendly with who do not do good work. What they do is kiss Amy Adams Strunk's ass very well. And they are untouchable.
You going to name some names?
Off the air, sure.
So is there a common thread with these? Like, is it, like, do you see it as
just trying to get younger? Let me go back there for 1 second. Maybe it's till you get younger and cheaper. These people who I'm talking about who kiss Amy Adams Strunk ass very well.
Yeah, keep saying that word. No.
Yeah, it's allowed, right? Yeah, yeah. George, I just saw something from George Carlin. He listed the seven words. That wasn't one of them.
A-A-S-A-S-S. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, how about that?
They make it like that's not a thing. Burke Nihil put out a very strong quote when they fired the four guys at the end, right at the end of the season, Pastrana,
which you wrote about,
and Akers, Albertson, the security guy, and Carthon's right hand man, Anthony Robinson, who you knew was on his way out, and he said, these are tough times, but we have to meet a standard. Well, that standard doesn't apply if you're Amy's person. We have to meet a standard, except for these people over here who are Amy's people. And those people have no standard. Their standard is Amy loves them.
I mean, how does an organ? That's the thing. If that's how it's going to be, it's just, again, you get lucky. You know, Cam Ward's great. You draft him, and everybody looks better, right? I mean, the football product gets better. Everybody looks better. Maybe Brian Callahan's a good coach. But from that part of the organization, it's bad. It doesn't look good.
Well, it's not. When you start to break all that down, it's not a surprise they are where they are, which is the point. Like, that's the point in all of this, whether you care about the firing of Robbie Boren or not. That's the point in all of this, is there you don't get to be in the dregs of the NFL by accident. Like, that does not happen by accident, and that's where they are right now. And it's hard to have confidence that they're getting out of this, short of Cam Ward being a great player. Which, again, I'm with you. That's the only thing that really matters at the end of the day. But their organization is poorly run.
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Cam Ward could be great. Our organizations screw up great players all the time. This one.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, like,
he needs to be a prime candidate to screw him up.
Sure.
Prime candidate. So, I mean, if you're out there thinking Cam Ward's going to fix all of this, I'm sorry, and I know I'm on the pessimistic side of things. I'm not a true believer in Cam Ward, but I think he's got a great chance. He could come in here, and they could totally mess him up.
Which happens a lot in the NFL.
It happens more than it doesn't.
And here's the other thing about Burke. You know, we're talking about the people he's sending out. Look at the people he's brought in. You know, some of them are anonymous background people. He was instrumental in hiring Rand Carthon. He was instrumental in hiring Brian Callahan.
And listen, real quick.
And he washed his hands of Rand Carthon in 2 years pretty good. Oh, the job has changed. The job has changed. No, what changed is you hired a guy who was not good at all. And I hear more and more. I know people think I've got some personal thing against Rand Carthon. I've got a reporting thing about Rand Carthon. And people are telling me more and more. You know, if you want a GM that's playing some form of Candy Crush during meetings, you got the guy. Good job, Burke.
Candy Crush?
It wasn't Candy Crush per se. It was some.
I know what
you
he's
know,
saying.
A game.
I mean, I was going to say that'd be. Imagine playing Candy Crush and then taking a nap. Holy crap!
One thing that I've not brought up on this that bothered me severely the other day when I saw the Robbie Bourne news, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I kind of think it was. It's like, well, we're going to fire him, but let's wait until Cam Ward's pro day, where everybody else is distracted about Cam Ward and talking about Cam Ward, and then we'll just dump it and we'll just fire him on that same day.
Yeah.
Like, who do we think gave it to Teresa? Like, do we think Robbie gave it to Teresa, or do we think the team gave it to Teresa?
I don't know.
I think Robbie probably gave it to Teresa.
I don't know. No one cares about that either.
I mean,
I know you
amongst,
care
amongst us.
Yeah,
we're
on the air right now. Wow. By the way, coming up next, I think my rant is going to be a rant of a text to you that I need to read.
Well, we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more coming on the Titans. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the program. We will have Rex Rhodes' rant coming up next, which I'm excited to see. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I don't love anybody is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's conceivable. And I think it's conceivable that it's just a dud year for quarterback for them.
I'll read the whole damn thing right now in your face. Here, read it. Come on. Come on, smart guy. Here it is.
I want to keep people awake and engaged. Yeah. I'll read it, and I'll tell them what you
read
actually
it.
Said.
I'll take it right now. See, there's me just yelling for no reason. Now I get it.
Uber guys.
Uber guy. Say. Don't leave us, Uber guy. Uber guy, stay with us.
It's time for the segment that puts Joe Rexroad's long fuse on display every day. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Paul Kuharsky is with us here on the program as well. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Long fuse, long fuse, long fuse. I forgot about Uber guy. I wonder if Uber guy has like become a fan of our show.
Uber guy probably did not like your yelling yesterday about the tunnel in basketball. So
that was not a good long fuse moment yesterday.
No,
did you hear that one, PK?
I did not.
Yeah. Well, you got the we're talking about Robbie Bourne and how he gets it. You know. And did you see the UConn thing? The UConn SID who tried to. I'll ruin your life. Being in an area you're not supposed to be in, the only way you could possibly leave the arena is walking through the tunnel.
That's good power hunger,
what
too.
A clown.
He thinks he could ruin a guy's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Apparently they've talked. Apparently all is fine.
Well, that's good. I mean, if he didn't go and apologize, his career was going to be ruined. Should still be ruined.
All right, so I'm going to read this because I think this is interesting. From Mark from Ashland City, a regular listener and contributor to the conversation on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. He says, I think the disconnect is media. PK especially always complains about PR decisions made by the team. So to me, it sounds like they weren't allowed to do his job in the first place, him being Robbie Bourne. From what I understand, they tried to move him to a different job. It didn't work. I'm not saying it's not a bad decision because I don't know. The media has attacked fans for not knowing, but what we know is the constant complaints about PR decisions this team has made. If the case is that they didn't let him do his job because the owner, we want to hear more about that instead of screaming at us that we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know. You're right. Please tell us.
Okay.
There you go. Mark from Ashland City, you just became the rant. Good job, Mark from Ashland City.
Well, let's clarify. And it's fair. PR is a universal decision. The PR strategy is not coming necessarily from the PR department. The PR department is executing the team's PR strategy. But when the team decides not to hold press conferences with their new players, that was not the PR department deciding, hey, let's change what we've done for our entire existence. That was somebody above PR, the organization changing its strategy, which then had to be executed by the PR department. And Paul Zimmerman, the great Paul Zimmerman from Sports Illustrated, told me this when I was starting my career, probably in 1995.
Dr. Z.
On a sideline in Oxnard, California, or in El Segundo, California, at a Raiders practice. The relationship between a good reporter and a PR department of a NFL team is always going to be adversarial. You want more access and more information, and they want you to have less access and less information. And you are always going to be warring about that. And now, I am always warring about that.
Let me interject really fast, though. But I think good PR people like Robbie, they still want good stories told.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of times when media and PR people are on the same page. It's like, hey, like, things are going well. Let's tell why. Right. This player's amazing. Can I tell his actual human story? Yes, here's time with him. Like, right? Like, that information they want. Obviously, when things get controversial or negative, that's sure. where you're very adversarial.
Yeah, or let's tell the story of how that play unfolded, or he's been working on that, and here it came to fruition,
right.
stuff like that. Plenty of stuff like that. But it's by nature adversarial relationship. I'm saying this guy was really good at managing that adversarial relationship. And other people are nowhere near as good at managing that adversarial relationship. I have a good relationship with a guy that I fought with on a regular basis. That sounds weird. He and his department don't hold grudges. I could have a big fight with him today and see him tomorrow and talk normally about the team and, you know, whatever else is going on in our kids.
Which
and
requires
whatever.
People
Which
who see
requires,
the big picture.
Yeah, right. a certain understanding of how the job works, both from his end and from my end. And he had that with everybody, me being probably the chief example yep. of it. I understand that's probably hard for a lot of you to care about that or wrap your head around it, but it's a fundamental element of how a team communicates its message.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, it comes back to beyond just the PR part of this. Who's running the organization? How are they running the organization? And how is that going to play out into what you do care about, which is the results on the field, right? Like, again, Cam Ward could come in and be great, and maybe not even the Titans could screw him up. We'll find out what happens here. Maybe they've hired the right people in Borgonzi and Bricker. Maybe Brian Callahan's a good coach after all. We're going to find out all those things.
And you say, a lot of people say, well, I don't care anything about how they handle Cam Ward PR-wise as long as he comes in and wins games. But it does factor in. If they bring in Cam Ward and they nest him and you know, we'll let you ask six questions, and then we'll say, that's it, guys, and you'll talk to him next week, and they baby him in a big way, and nobody yep. gets to talk to him and gets to know him. That's a certain coddling approach that is reflective of how they're handling him. And if they're loose and you can walk by his locker and say a few words to him or ask him about, you know, that one thing you saw at practice or whatever, that's a different kind of approach with him where he's allowed to be one of the guys more and isn't put in a bubble. And that tells you something about their approach with him. And a lot of people think that's meaningless, but it's not. I can tell you, and Joe can tell you, from being in NFL locker rooms and stuff, it's reflective of how they coach him and how they treat him in meeting rooms. And that helps us tell you about stuff that you, I think, as fans, want to know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some fans obviously want to know these. They're really into it. They want more information. And so there's a bigger picture there where a bad PR person yeah. can really restrict that. I understand when it comes down to it, you want your team to be good. But, you know, a lot of fans want more than that, right? They want a connection with the team.
Of course. But I guess, again, my point in all of this is, like, do you – take the Jets and the Browns. Do you think that the Jets and the Browns for the last 15 years have just gotten incredibly unlucky time after time after time, and they just always like, well, it just didn't work out when we pick a quarterback, or, man, it hadn't worked out when we signed this deal, and it's just really unlucky? Is there some of that? Probably. But when it's over an extended period of time like that and you were that bad for that long, there are fundamental problems in your organization, in a league that is designed – for you to be able to be competitive and back in the pack very quickly with the way this league is set up, if you are a team that is perpetually awful, it is because you are poorly run. It's not because you're just unlucky for 20 straight years.
Well,
and the Titans are being compared with those teams, and that is not what you want if you're a Titans fan.
And it's from the top, right? I mean, it's from the top. I think with both those organizations, let's go to the Detroit Lions. As I've said many times on the show, you know, just forget about it because ownership since William Clay Ford bought the team, they are going to screw it up. Now, now there's Sheila Hamp Ford actually seems to be competent, and it's funny how that
has coincided with the change of Ford.
Yeah, right? So I think it absolutely starts at the top, and usually that's where you look. And then it's hard. Then it's like you get into someone like Burke Nyhill. It's like, I don't know, you tell me. Do you think that, like, Steve Underwood was more of a, now, Bud, you know, we need to do this, not that? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Underwood guided a lot of Bud's best moments. Now, he also endured a lot of Bud's worst moments.
Yeah, you can't like, completely take over, but you need someone in that spot, which is basically Burke's spot, who can push back and help make better decisions.
And Burke had Steve Underwood's absolute blessing. So, I mean, that was big in Burke being Underwood's successor.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get more into the Titans organization, the leadership structure, and this conversation later in the program. We will get into Cam Ward, his pro day, and how the picture around the draft is now shaping up with Russell Wilson to the Giants yesterday as well. All that coming up next with PK. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.